The octave day of Easter, our joy just overflows for 8 days. It will actually continue flowing, overflowing, up all the way to Pentecost. And today we also celebrate Divine Mercy Sunday. So we've got this rather large image of the Divine Mercy over here as well. And throughout the Easter season, that first reading is usually taken from the Acts of the Apostles, which it could also just as easily be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, right? Because it's the Spirit working through the apostles and the early church. And there's that beautiful line from that first reading, the believers were of one heart and mind. Just like us, right? I don't know that the apostles necessarily were that way either, but it was the Holy Spirit within them that brought them together. It was the Holy Spirit working, the Spirit of unity that binds them and that binds us together as well to make us one heart and mind. That second reading, there's a beautiful letter from the first letter of St. John. And I don't know about you, but I was listening to that, and John says, who is it that conquers the world? And I thought, well, I know that answer, John. It's Jesus, right? And then John continues, it's those who have faith in the One. Faith in Jesus, which is kind of mind-blowing, right? Christ is the one who conquered death, who rose from the dead, who overcame the darkness, who continues to overcome the darkness, the light shining into our hearts, and yet we get to participate in His conquering the world by our faith in Him. Wow. And then in the gospel today, Thomas, you kind of wonder, what was going on with Thomas that he was not able to give his faith to the One who conquers the world and so share in that victory? What was going on with him? You know, was he just so heartbroken by having lost Jesus that he couldn't go there again? Oh, we've seen the Lord. I can't go there again. Who knows what all was going on in his heart and mind? And yet, Christ comes to him like he comes to us again and again, and he says, I want to heal your heart. And he opens his side, and he shows him the heart of God. I want to heal your heart with the heart of God. It's time for us to continue our walk through the Mass. And today we come to the Gloria. The last time we were able to do this, we were talking about the penitential act and our need to take and acknowledge responsibility for our sins, but then also to turn to God and rely on His mercy and power to save us. Without God's power, we'd simply be stuck in our sins. But with Him, we can rise up again and again, no matter how many times we fall. So I'm going to ask our soundboard operator to pull up the next slide that gives us the words of the Gloria so that we can all kind of follow along as I go through those a bit. There's an important movement here from the penitential act to the Gloria that needs to be highlighted. And I want us to think about it in light of a line here from today's Gospel of John about the resurrection appearances. The Gospel states, the doors were closed in the room where the disciples were. But Jesus came and stood among them, and the disciples were filled with joy at seeing the Lord. So think about that passage in light of the introductory rites in every Eucharist. We've not yet gotten to the proclamation of the Scriptures. Jesus does not yet speak to us, but He is present. The risen Christ will not force open the doors of our hearts. I mean, physical doors, wood, iron, metal doors are no barrier to Him. But He will not force open the doors of our hearts. But as soon as we welcome Him, and how do we welcome Him? But by expressing our desire for conversion of heart, the penitential act, right? That then we experience joy in His presence and we burst into song in the Gloria. So the pattern is this: conversion opens us to adoration. Conversion opens us to adoration. By its nature, the penitential act culminates in adoration, the singing of the Gloria. Adoration without conversion, without change of heart, would be hypocrisy. If I sing the Gloria, if I bow my tongue in worship but not my heart, it's a sham. But at the same time, if I truly acknowledge myself as a sinner in need of saving, but then I never go further to sing of the Father's mercy and love, then my conversion remains incomplete. If I acknowledge myself a sinner, but then put no faith in or love in the God who can save me, then I'm a miserable fellow, stuck in the despair of my sins, with no hope of getting beyond them. But here in the liturgy, we go beyond our sins when we go from the penitential act to the singing of the Gloria. We sing the Gloria with loving and confident faith that God forgives us, and so we worship him. Conversion without adoration is only conversion from and not conversion to. Such a conversion will always fail, and the end result can be worse than the first. But if we strive to live this moment of conversion from and conversion to, then we begin to be transformed. Let's take a closer look then at what we are actually singing in the Gloria. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. That's a direct quote from the angels who sang on the night that Christ was born. It's about the great appearance of God. Christ is born, and now we see God. And so we sing glory to God in the highest. The more we cleanse our hearts during that penitential act, the more we too will be prepared to see God acting in our world and in those around us, let alone in ourselves. Peace to people of goodwill. When we use our will to choose God's will, then it's a good will. And then and only then will we truly have peace. If you go to the next slide, next there come five verbs in a row. And these are five ways to pray to God. We can praise him, amazed by his power and majesty. You know, wow. Wow, God, that's praising him. We can bless him by remembering and recounting the ways that he's been good to us. That's how we bless God. When we can adore him, we bow down as creatures before our Creator and acknowledge that we owe him obedience. We can glorify him by doing good deeds in the world. We glorify God. And lastly, we can give thanks for God's great glory, for all his great deeds in our lives, in the lives of those around us. Five verbs, five ways to pray. Next, there's a whole series of titles or names for God. The first line is for God the Father. Lord God, Heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father. The second line is for Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ, Only Begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father. Notice how we name Jesus as God, as Christ, and as Lamb. He's divine, he's our Redeemer, and he's our sacrifice on the cross. It's precisely then, if you go to the next slide, as the Lamb of God, that Jesus takes away the sins of the world. And from his seat at the right hand of the Father, he intercedes for us and has mercy on us eternally, lovingly. Then we have three more titles for Jesus. He alone is the Holy One, the Lord, the Most High. You know, it takes real humility and faith on our part to sing that. None of us are holy enough. None of us are strong enough or great enough. Christ alone. Christ alone. And lastly, we end our hymn of adoration with the whole Trinity, Christ, with the Holy Spirit, and the glory of God the Father. So if you come to church and are looking for something to pray, pull out the Gloria and meditate on the titles of Jesus. Ask him to make your will a good will. Sing his praise, bless his name, adore his majesty. Recall how you've glorified him by your deeds, or ask forgiveness for how you've failed to do so. And thank him for his great glory, his great deeds. Ask him to have mercy on you and to receive your prayer. Remember, conversion opens us to adoration. The penitential act opens us to the Gloria. So the homework for this week is, feel free to take one of the Mass cards home with you, or however you want to have those words of the Gloria present to you throughout this week, and spend some time praying with the Gloria, and let yourself be converted into adoration. Glory to God in the highest.